gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
The Stephanie Miller Show. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. We're just playing the game that everyone in the country is playing this morning, and that is WTF with Mary Madeline, you think?
Oh, God.
Right? You hadn't seen it yesterday.
I hadn't seen it, but I did watch it yesterday afternoon.
Yeah. WTF, do you think?
Looks like they were having a clearance on Botox, and she took advantage of it.
That it's the game everybody's playing, because you were saying she seemed stiff when she was turning.
Right.
It also seemed perhaps like a fresh facelift. Don't know if it's Botox. Don't know if it was
collagen.
Booze, dope. We don't know.
She could barely move her lips when she was talking.
Right.
Someone said she looked like one of those Team America World Police puppets that had been left out in the sun.
That's exactly what she looks like.
America, F yeah.
Even more entertaining, the look on Governor Jennifer Granholm's face when she was debating her. I can only imagine what was in her thought bubble. But nicely done, Governor Granholm. Yeah. Oh, how about what was this? I don't even know what's the Disney character with the animal? Oh, Snow White. It was the Snow White on crack moment.
Or Lily Tomlin in 9 to 5.
Mm-hmm. But she was intentionally funny in that.
That's right.
Yes.
The skinny and sweet.
Right, Mary. Mary Madeline. Here's
your love animals. I am.
Crazy, I know.
They come to me. Right. Birds land on my shoulders. Rats come to me. Cats come to me.
You're like St. Francis of Assisi.
I am exactly like St.
But here's my question.
Wow.
It was also just her eyes, right?
Yeah. They were spinning in different directions.
Right. Like one of those dolls you shake up.
With the googly eyes.
Bill sounded like he was trying to talk somebody down and had a bad acid trip.
Yeah, Bill was like, oh, boy.
And Steve Schmidt was sitting there like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God.
Yeah. And she
help her.
She kept lifting, like, her hair helmet up. It was weird. She was like,
oh. Well, I don't think she wanted to touch her face because it was freshly pulled, and it probably hurt.
Oh, that could be.
And so she was
and you know, you saw me after mine was freshly pulled.
Oh,
that's what it looks like.
I didn't expect that.
Hi, Chris. I haven't seen, is it really? Is it Tuesday? It was just Monday yesterday.
Big. It's the pictures that got small.
And you had fresh bandages on that was like leaking.
I'll never forget the look
on
your face.
Leaking pus and blood and it was gross.
I don't remember why you came to the house then. That was many, many years ago.
Because I was getting ready to move to Phoenix. I was getting away from you.
Oh, you came to say goodbye and you were like, ah!
Oh, God.
See ya.
Get as far away from you as possible.
And then what happened? Just like the mafia, just when you
think
you're out.
4 years later, I came back
to you. You get the call.
Yeah. Putting the band back together.
When do you need me? Yesterday. Get over here. All right. And then she was on, where was this? On
ABC's This Week with George Stephanopoulos.
Oh, dear.
Can I just say, I'm so sick of sports and politics this week. Someone came out and said I am not gay, and I know I'm going to get in trouble for this. But all of my gay friends thinks he looks so buff and he's shirtless. Why is he even talking about this?
She was talking about Putin.
Yeah.
Yeah, Putin. Her gay friends think he looks... Okay.
Oh, my God.
The gay friends are going to give up all of their principles just because there's a hot bod.
Yes.
Right.
I would suggest that she take a little sabbatical from media.
Public speaking, recover. She should have recovered.
Didn't she watch Norma Desmond? You need time to recover before you go greet your public again.
I am big.
Right.
It's the pictures that got small.
Oh, for God's sakes. All right. Why do you have it as a screen capture? Just to torture yourself?
No, I had the page up.
Oh, I thought it was like your screensaver now.
No, God, no. No.
All right. More developments in
Christie Gate.
Yes, or Governor Krispy
Kreme Gate.
That's Bill Maher calls him. I get in trouble for fat jokes, and his whole show was fat jokes. And by the way, someone had tweeted, why didn't Mayor Dawn Zimmerman come forward at the time? Because most media was in full Christie swoon. She'd have been ignored and then Hoboken punished.
Yep.
And by the way, I was watching the lieutenant governor, who, of course, denied her allegations. I love Chris Matthews. He's like, like high school. She was just reading something somebody told her. She did. It was a little, like, patronizing, right?
Yep. Mm.
She was like, her allegations are wrong and also illogical.
You know how chicks are.
Not really illogical at all,
no.
Unfortunately. No. Kind of fitting in a larger storyline.
A larger
Leon is getting larger.
It's Leon and the storyline are getting larger. Here is Hoboken Mayor Don Zimmer.
She said, I know it's not right. I know these things should not be connected, but they are. And if you tell anyone, I'll deny it.
Which she did.
She did.
Yeah. Yes, Jim. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were clearing your throat. By the way, new polling from Pew.
Pew.
Shows unfavorable views of Governor Chris Christie have doubled over the past year. 34% of those polled, an unfavorable view up from 17%. So, this is taking its toll, I would say.
Toll, as in toll bridge?
Yeah, hey, that's what I...
Wow,
what I did.
Really?
What? I loved it. He's just so... Can I just say, isn't the Republican Party the ones that are always saying, oh, we don't like victims. Democrats are such victims. He is just... This is like the poor me pity party just continues, right? I'm reading another interview with him. I will learn things from this, which I said yesterday. He will learn perhaps which cell block he will be in.
Sure.
I don't know exactly what it is yet, but I'll learn from it. But when I get the whole story and really try to understand what's going on here, I know I'm going to learn things. And so are federal prosecutors, apparently.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, he also said, and don't just fill in your own joke, I won't even, is that he's still trying to get his arms around the whole thing.
Ah, God.
It's difficult to get his arms around.
Right.
Christy, this is kind of sad as well. Christy fiddled with a half-eaten pack of vending machine muffins.
Oh. Really? He's a stereotype.
Really? Who thinks anything in front of him is half-eaten? Really? Come on. Come on.
You can get muffins out of a vending machine?
Right?
Wow. Well, not here, but...
No.
No. No.
We need vending machines here.
Oh, great. I'll get right on that. He said he hadn't watched the song parody. His hero, Bruce Springsteen and Jimmy Fallon, threw together. He said he was not angry about it. Anyone believe that? Anyone? Anyone?
Confused says no.
Jimmy Fallon called him ahead of time and warned him that it was going to be on.
Yeah, tweeted him. Said, oh, it's all in good fun. In fact, this reporter says Christie went out of his way several times to assure me he was not angry.
I'm not angry.
Was not an angry person.
I'm not angry. I'm just going to have you whacked.
Even though I hadn't suggested that he was.
There's no reason to be angry. I just get stuff done. Oh, look, there's a horse's head in your bed.
I love this part. It reminded him in 2011 he told me he didn't feel ready to be president and asked about it. Now he said, yeah, I'm readier. Right. Right.
Uh-huh.
Those approval numbers keep going. We're even readier. America is the readiest ever for President Chris Christie.
I won't even discuss the improper grammar with
you. Yeah, let's not even.
Thank you.
Let's not. I know. Go buy some Whiskas for your kids.
Ah, God.
Yeah.
Okay, Mayor Don Zimmer, Hoboken Mayor Don Zimmer.
This isn't something that, you know, you forget. When the lieutenant governor of the state of New Jersey tells you in a parking lot, if you tell anyone, I will deny, you remember it. And I, you know, I was very upset. I did a journal entry, a few days later.
Yeah, I know, of course, people are going, oh, you can go back and write a journal. But it sounds to me like, as everyone has said, she would not expose herself to this and the federal prosecutors. It sounds like she has emails.
Yeah.
It's not just a... the journal, and as she said, she's willing to take a lie detector test. She's willing to testify under oath. She said, "What about all of you?" So far, no response on all
Interesting.
That.
Interesting. Generally, you trust the person who demands a lie detector test.
Right. And here is the lieutenant governor denying her allegations.
I am very surprised,
disappointed
by the mayor's allegations.
Disappointed.
And I deny. Wholeheartedly, those allegations.
Yeah. Disappointed!
Doesn't that just sound bull?
Wholeheartedly. I deny it.
I deny. This is not a prepared statement that I am reading.
My voice is getting higher, and it's not. It's just because.
I am surprised.
I'm shocked.
I wonder how many words they crossed out before. I deny.
No.
Entirely. No.
Disappointed is good.
Wholeheartedly. That sounds wholehearted. Let's do that.
That's how they workshop
it. She said half-heartedly.
That sounded more half-hearted. And here she is one more time, New Jersey Lieutenant Governor.
The suggestion that anyone would hold back Sandy relief funds
oh, that's quarter-hearted.
For any reason
that's not even half-hearted.
Is wholly and completely false.
It's so false. I can't believe it. It's super duper false. It couldn't be falsier.
Jimmy, you're an award, Emmy award-winning actor.
Did you call him Jimmy?
Yes.
Jimmy.
An Emmy award-winning. I think I was trying to say Emmy.
And
Jimmy. Jimmy does have an Emmy.
Son Jimmy, yes. Jimmy Fallon.
Was that the worst acting ever or what?
That was.
That was the worst acting ever.
It is so false.
Oh, my God. I want to see. Does someone have rehearsal tape? If rehearsal tape of that comes out? The very suggestion. Do you think someone was coaching her? Can you quiver your upper lip a little?
You get nothing.
Anyone?
How could they think?
And
that
then make sure you punch the false. It's completely and wholly,
completely, wholly, absolutely false.
Did she do a phony hand motion with that?
No.
I got to hear that again. That's
okay.
Worst. Listen, we're out here in Hollywood, and we have seen some bad acting.
This
is awful.
The suggestion that anyone would hold back Sandy relief funds
thank you.
For any reason.
No, thank you means you're done. Thank you.
Completely false.
Thank you.
Okay, you know, we're going to go another direction.
Get off the stage. Don't call us.
You know what? Just leave your resume. That was great. Great. Really great.
Yes.
Terrific.
We have a file.
We're going a different direction that is a totally, it's a different direction from where you are. It's somewhere else.
Good. Somewhere way, way far away. They really should have acting lessons.
Iceland.
People who, where we're going.
Right.
Yes.
Exactly. Somewhere way away from you. All
How
right.
do you feel about Cleveland?
Guess what else you get besides an Emmy today? Charlie Pierce.
What?
Yay.
No way.
See, everybody I quote that agrees with me on Snowden and the NSA, Jim calls an idiot. And everyone that agrees with
him,
I book on the show. So there's a difference.
Daniel Ellsberg agrees with me.
Okay.
That's Charlie.
All right. 17 minutes after the hour. See, that's why I told you I couldn't be president. I just quit now. I would quit.
Yeah.
It's too hard.
I think that is false.
So false. This suggestion. That I was not sincere about that. It's false.
Okay.
Oh, awful. 18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEP-1-2.
Listen to Stephanie Miller. From a location midway between the loudspeakers. This sequence is repeated several times.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 23 minutes after the hour. Oh, well, okay. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. By the way, our aerial camera is still not here, but Max is right there.
Yep.
You know why? Because he's on double secret probation.
Why? What do you do?
He's with mom. I don't know. He's been peeing and pooping in the living room for some reason.
How do you know it's...
Jim thinks he's protesting all these, you know...
People.
Changes.
People in his house every morning.
Well, yeah. How do you know
sure
it's
Max?
How do you know it's that one and not the other one?
Just a feeling. It's a mother's intuition.
Maybe it's a size of the...
you have poop ESP?
Yes, exactly.
The offerings.
Mm-hmm. All right. Andy Borowitz. Hilarious. A support group for mayors bullied by New Jersey Governor Chris Christie held its first meeting today at the Presidential Center Arena in Newark. Organizers of the gathering pronounced themselves pleased with the turnout as bullied office holders from all over the state filled the 18,000-seat venue. There's a crowd shot, 18,000.
Yes.
Okay. It's funny because that means a lot of people. Okay, I'll be over here. The event was interrupted 15 minutes in, however, when power to the Presidential Center was abruptly cut off, plunging the arena into darkness. A spokesman from Governor Christie's office said this sudden power outage was part of a routine electricity study.
Oh. That's nice.
Oh, Andy Borowitz. Tom in Albuquerque, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Tom.
Hi, Steph. Hi, Moose.
Hi.
Listen, you know, a lot of this, the Don Zimmer situation in New Jersey, it's reminding me to some extent of the Anita Hill situation where, you know, why would this person who happens to be a woman come forward and make these allegations, subject herself to ridicule and criticism,
right, But, and if she's, as someone said, if she's lying, she'll go to jail. I mean.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's my understanding she was a former assistant U.S. attorney.
Right.
And she put away the guy that used to hold the seat that she now holds.
Yep.
Now, she has no use for corruption. And I think she thought that Chris Christie was not corrupt. And then she found out he was.
Yep.
And that was why she came out the way she did.
And, you know, Tom, you can just judge whether you think someone is sincere. She seems sincere to me. And as I was saying, I think a lot, I'm not the only person that said this lieutenant governor. It just seems so bad and rehearsed and scripted, and she didn't take questions, right?
Right.
Yeah, exactly. And I would love for her to volunteer to go speak to the U.S. attorneys like Don Zimmer did.
Yep, yep. Very good point. Very good point. Scott in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Scott.
How you doing? You know, great show. I love you.
Thank you.
You know, what hit me yesterday, what made me funny, is like you said, she was a bad actress, but it was the role that she was playing, and it seemed to me that she was trying to channel Hillary Clinton. In the way she looked, you know, when Hillary speaks, she's very direct, very intelligent, very erudite, very well-spoken, and I'm looking at go, she's trying to be Hillary Clinton. And all the old fat Republicans in back that were clapping their hands. Yeah, you go, girl.
Yeah, that was a poor man's Hillary Clinton for sure. That's what that was.
Yeah.
There. Oh, boy. By the way, you know there's trouble when Skeletor is called in. Did you hear that?
Oh.
Port Authority Chairman hires former Homeland Security Chief as his attorney.
Yep.
In the George Washington Bridge scandal. The fixer, Skeletor. Port Authority Chairman David Sampson, a Christie ally, now embroiled in two controversies. Two controversies in one, has hired former Homeland Security Chief Michael Chertoff to represent him in the widening investigation of the lane closures on the George Washington Bridge. Lawyer it up. Everybody's lawyer it up. Not that that looks suspicious in a way. Just saying.
No, no, no.
Just saying. All right.
I'm pretty sure Chertoff means son of the devil. If it doesn't, it should.
Thank you, Jim, for that fun fact. Hey, did anyone notice Iran has halted uranium enrichment under the New Deal?
Yeah.
It's not important. It's not.
It's fluff.
Yeah. Iran has halted its most sensitive uranium enrichment work as part of the landmark deal.
Diplomacy works. Huh. Who knew? Bum, 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 Iran. Bum, 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 bum. Okay, Grampy. All right.
Someone sent me an actual picture of John McCain. He is the angriest dog in the world. It was an actual picture of him going...
Like, that's kind of his normal look.
Yeah, he really is. He's an angry dude. Yeah, what I was going to say is, do you think the president will get any credit for this? No.
Confused says no.
No. It's like no one's even covering it. Oh, Iran stopped enriching uranium?
Stuff happens all the time.
Whatever.
Diplomacy works.
See,
when John Kerry's in charge.
Yeah. This is why, and we'll get into the NSA stuff, but I know... I'm a happy, clappy Obama apologist. All I'm saying is I just feel like the guy can't do anything. It doesn't matter what he does. This is the LA Times, right? I asked you to send me this, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm looking at the stock market has hit skyscraping highs. The unemployment rate has dipped to a five-year low. Any number of economic statistics, new car sales, home prices, consumer spending point to a perked-up economy that is steadily growing. But the one thing that has changed little is President Obama's job approval rating, which has tumbled over the last year to an anemic 40% range, remains stuck near the low point of his administration. And all you can think is just this steady drumbeat of negative stuff that has come from the right. It's got to obviously, unfortunately, be taking a toll because you go, what does this guy have to do? The chasm is striking and a worrisome thing for Democrats already facing a tough election year. One of the most reliable barometers of political well-being is the state of the economy. Good times usually bring good tidings. Woe to the incumbent and party in the White House when times are tough. We'll talk more about this. And I, you know what I'm saying?
I do.
When I say I think you get my point.
Sure.
Yeah. 29 minutes after
the
hour.
Your
point is nice. Well, win. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Please, for your own sake, fart in moderation.
Good point. No, I'll pass that along.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Now with Fred, Jim's emotional support dog. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-1-2. By the way, Greg writes, Steph, you need to add the Jaws theme to your box so you can play it as Max and Fred encircle Chris before they attack. Chris, the non-dog lover. The non-dog lover in the group.
I love dogs.
Despite the fact that we were just discussing how vindictive cats are. When your cats get mad, what do? They barf on your pillow.
On the bed. In the middle of the bed.
Okay.
Yep.
Saying, Fred just wants your love. Is that so wrong? As soon as he tires of Jim, he'll get to you.
Uh-huh. Great.
My cat enjoys playing with the printer when I'm...
Oh, that's cute.
Oh, she's, where'd it go? Where'd the paper go?
Oh,
oh, it's coming out again. Oh, look at that.
Yeah. Yeah, my cat does that too.
Sorry, but that's not very bright. Don't they say cats are smart?
Cats are smart.
No, they figure it out.
Well, okay.
Yeah, they figure it out.
It comes out there.
Yep.
All right, let's go to Mike in Chicago.
Only I could read.
Hey, somebody paid you. I can't read a word. Hi, Mike.
You know what? No one seems to be bringing up how severe this investigation is. Is the Attorney General for New Jersey met with the mayor on a Sunday before a federal holiday?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, no one brings that up. How serious? I couldn't get their office to answer a phone call on a Sunday, let alone meet with them for 2 hours. And also, Chris Christie, you might want to leave fundraising in Florida and go back home during this. It really makes you look like you don't care.
Yeah, 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 exactly, exactly. All right, I was talking about a piece in the LA Times about how all of the indicators economically, stock market, skyscraping highs, unemployment rate at a five-year low, housing prices up. I know that there's even right in my neighborhood. Yeah, new cars, good news for me, since if I have to sell this whole operation, including you people.
You'll make a profit.
Exactly. Oh, they come with the house. They're always in there.
Yeah.
They're in there in the morning. They don't make much noise.
They don't eat much.
New car sales anyway, but they were just saying it's obviously not showing up in the president's approval ratings, but I contend it's because I guess this constant drumbeat of negative and the liberal, quote unquote, liberal media, there is no such thing as we talk about all the time, but they're saying in the case of Obama and fellow Democrats, there's been a clear disconnect between economic indicators and political popularity. It's not unusual for widespread pessimism to fly in the face of upbeat economic news, even long after the recovery has taken hold. That's the only thing that gives me hope is historically in this article, they were saying in 1994, well into the turnaround that began the boom years under President Clinton, people remained dissatisfied with the state of the economy. You just have to hope there's lag time.
Right, suddenly.
Right, according to surveys from Pew.
Pew, pew, pew.
Okay. All right. Get that out of your system. Only in the latter part of the Clinton administration, after successive years of strong job growth, that attitudes change, helping Democrats win in the 98 midterm election. So we'll see, what happens by this year's midterms, but it just frustrates me. David Axelrod said he's got this dual task. One is to make sure that we've made progress, not just for his own political well-being, but because it's important for the psychology of the country to believe we're moving forward. On the other hand, he has to respond to the continuing pressures that people feel. It's a very, very challenging line to walk. Even if Obama's job approval ratings fail to climb, though, they're saying it's highly unlikely many seats will shift in either direction this November. Nothing to do with the economy, everything to do with politics, a lack of competitive House seats, which only heightens the stakes for the fight for the Senate, is what they're saying. So it's a really important year, and it just... I think we can't tell that story enough about how all the economic indicators are up.
Yep.
Oh, all right. Jim, did you see this headline? Did Obama do terrorists a favor by curbing the NSA? Do you see what I mean? He can make anybody happy. You think that he didn't do anything.
He makes you happy.
No. And security professionals.
Who wrote that?
It's the Fiscal Times.
Fiscal Times?
It's not an opinion piece. It's talking about there's 17... former intelligence and national security officials and experts have written a letter to the president warning that these changes would put Americans at risk. And you guys yesterday are saying, which Charlie Pierce says, too, he didn't do anything. I'm just, see, this is where I would quit and start drinking. This is all I'm saying. This one, not an opinion piece. It's just, it's talking about, but
I've
I was
never
just
heard
laughing because I thought.
Fiscal Times?
Yeah, I've never heard of the Fiscal Times.
It's just, it's something that pops up on Mama's Yahoo. You can read it anywhere. It's a letter.
I did 7 hours of research yesterday. Didn't come across the Fiscal Times.
Well, I was up late.
Okay.
This was Mama's late night.
I see.
Research. President Obama's plan to limit the scope of the NSA surveillance activities has disappointed privacy advocates who say reforms did not curb spying enough. But former intelligence and officials are now warning the changes could put American lives at risk.
Yeah, but who are these officials?
This is why you said 17 former. That's what I'm reading from. Obama called for an end to spying on leaders of friendly countries, requiring a court order to access data from their database of cell phone records, limiting the scope of what the NSA can do when it does access the database and the possible creation of a new body to store that data. The president also said he would ask Congress to appoint a public advocate to FISA. So this is the story. You need to do research all night because this was late at night. Now 17
Who are these 17 people? Are these 17 people
exactly.
Among the signatories, they're 17 former intelligence and national security officials and experts. Obviously, they're going to be on one side of this.
Right. Issue. Does the piece name them?
Former CIA directors James Woolsey and Michael Hayden. Fran Townsend, former Homeland Security advisor.
Fran Townsend of the Bush administration.
Right.
Right, and the first two are of the Obama administration. That's what I'm saying. Like, I think in this debate, we have to stop dismissing anyone that disagrees with us.
I'm not dismissing. I'm just trying to get to the root of who's saying this.
Right, but Jim tends to say, oh, he's an idiot. Whoever, I didn't say that. I didn't get to go to the Blue State Ball because my doctor wouldn't let me, but Al Franken was there, Senator Franken. I would have loved to have had a conversation with him about this. You know, and I will tell you, I tend to trust people more that are Democrats on this kind of stuff. But, you know, what's his name? Ruppersberger, the Democrat that's on the, Oversight Committee, I believe. I mean, he has the so I don't know. It's like I don't think that, and this is not breaking down, do you think, Jim, on regular lines? You know what I mean?
Here's a quote from Senator Frank Church of the Church Committee in 1975, talking about the NSA. I know the capacity. Hi, Fred.
Sorry if you're watching on TV.
I know the capacity.
Fred is burrowing into his armpit. Okay, go ahead.
He's looking for an article on the computer.
I want to look at kitty pictures. Where are the kitty cats?
Anyway, so right. Frank Church, speaking of the National Security Agency, I know the capacity that there is to make tyranny total in America, and we must see to it that this agency and all agencies that possess this technology operate within the law and under proper supervision so that we never cross that abyss. That is the abyss from which there is no return. So he was worried about it.
Charlie Pierce made some points, points that I agree with this week. You know, I think this is not easy stuff. Anyway, you were asking me who else, right?
Mm-hmm.
In here, former chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, Representative Pete Hoekstra. They don't list all 17. They're all, Democrats and Republicans from different administrations. NSA chief, the current chief, Keith Alexander, has continually said that NSA actions, and this is something that Jim and I always get into, stop attacks since the Snowden blow-up last summer. However, because of the clandestine nature of the NSA's activity, he's been unable to prove that claim, allowing critics to charge he's using American security as an expense and an excuse to continue unwarranted spying.
The NSA director is not going to say anything different.
Well, of course.
I'm taking it with a grain of salt
here. Some of this is like, course.
I'm not being contrary, just to be contrary. I'm taking it with a grain of salt.
But I'm saying there are people I respect on both sides of this, you know, and I don't agree with Dianne Feinstein and everything. I agree with her on this one. It's interesting. Rich wrote, Jim, and I think this was in response to something you said yesterday, but he said the damage done by the compromise of national security information is classified. That is true. So only those with access to that classified analysis can understand the extent of the damage Snowden's data dump has done.
And we have to take their words.
But you don't need any insider knowledge to imagine the consequences of putting 1.7 million intelligence files into the public domain could have. So, and which, again, that's what Senator Franken was talking about. I mean, anyway. Okay. Well, let me just see here. Who else? Admiral James Lyons, he's one of the people on the he said, if I were a member of Al-Qaeda, I'd tell you to go out and endorse every one of the presidential review group's recommendations. I mean, so I just feel like the president's taking it from both sides on this, right?
Mm-hmm. It's a tough issue. Of course he's going to take it from both sides.
In April 2006, an article in the Washington Post described how terrorists were concerned that their web chatter could be vulnerable to government hackers. Terrorist groups, which for years have used the Internet and its various tools to organize and communicate, are paying more attention to addressing security and privacy concerns similar to those of other web users, counterterrorism experts say. That was what the caller was trying to say to you yesterday, Jim. I think we had trouble understanding what he was saying, but someone wrote to me, and then I got it. They were saying, if you're paying more attention to what you're doing online because of these revelations. Kind of, I think it goes to the point that, of course, terrorists are too. They're going, oh, that's how they track us. So they're doing things differently. I mean, that only makes sense to me. Anyway, I love this. Recently, postings on jihadist websites have expressed increasing concern about spyware, password protection, and surveillance. Maybe we should stop making the password boom. Do you think?
Or stop making your password password.
Maybe we should not be going to Target. and surveillance on chat rooms and instant messaging systems. Michigan Representative Justin Amash, he's a Republican, said nothing the president said today will end the unconstitutional invasion of Americans' privacy. That's what I mean. This is not falling on partisan lines. I probably don't agree with that guy anything.
I believe it's unconstitutional.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you want to be doing this, you need to change the Constitution. Otherwise, it's moot up to the Supreme Court.
The Patriot Act pretty much eviscerated the Bill of Rights.
Well, the Patriot Act needs to be adjudicated in front of the Supreme Court as well.
Exactly.
All right. More on all of this, and the one thing we can all agree on, that Sarah Palin needs to shut her pie hole.
Oh.
45
oh, God.
Minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show with well-known scat singer Jim Warren.
Scooby-dooby-doo.
1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Tony in L.A., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Tony.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I wanted to call about the Doug Christie. I was just hoping that I'm an independent here. But I hope there's no overkill with the Doug Christie situation. You've got all these different committees and investigations going on.
That's because there's a lot of there.
Right.
All the stuff that is being discussed is illegal.
Okay, but hear me out. Well, like I told you, screen. I work in the DA's office in L.A. I'm just pointing out an actual fact here. He hasn't been charged with anything yet.
Right.
All these different.
You need to investigate before you charge someone.
DA, what do you make of when somebody comes out and says, "I will testify under oath. I will take a lie detector test," and the other side makes a prepared statement and takes no questions?
Well, first of all,
does that do anything to your spidey sense?
I work in the DA's office, but I'm not an attorney. I'm an investigator. I'm trying to make a point, and you guys keep cutting me off. All I'm trying to say is you've got all these different investigative committees. The minute he beats one of these investigative committees, I'm just saying there's all these different subcommittees at the federal and state level, and once he beats one of these investigations, now they're going to say, well, you know, with a political witch hunt. He's not going to get convicted on all these different investigations. And especially, like, I see all the time the DA's office.
Tony, to me, a political witch hunt is when you investigate over years and spend millions of taxpayer dollars to investigate, let's just say, a BJ or a land deal gone awry. There is real harm to real citizens here. Particularly if you can prove this 91-year-old woman died because an ambulance was delayed, this is serious stuff. Cutting off a city from Hurricane Sandy relief that is 80% underwater for political retribution, that's serious, don't you think?
Right. I didn't say it wasn't serious. You cut me off. I was trying to make a point. I'm not defending Doug Christie. What I'm saying is he's being investigated with a lot of charges in the DA's office. A lot of prosecutors do it. They overcharge, and, you know, they'll charge him with,
with anything yet.
I understand, but I'm saying there's all these different allegations. People get overcharged all the time in the criminal process.
Well,
saying the minute he beats one of these once one of these investigations finds out, okay, he didn't do this, now the RNC is going to turn around and say, look, it's a political witch hunt. I'm not saying.
Okay. All right. Well, you call back when we're there. All right. Why do I keep cutting people off on the Stephanie Miller Show?
Yeah,
I don't understand.
I keep cutting me off. Why do you keep cutting me off? Stop cutting me off. Stop it. What are you doing? Stop it.
Stop it.
People seem to be annoyed when I talk on my talk show.
Stop it.
Just stop talking.
Because, by the way, I am an independent trademark, and I like to listen to both sides.
Bling.
Why do you keep cutting me off when I have more credibility when most people call me because I am an independent that happens to work in the DA's office? Isn't it always amazing how independents always have the most handy job for the topic?
Yeah,
of
exactly.
They are an expert because
that's so convenient.
I'm a small business owner.
What was our favorite? Hello, I'm an independent who happens to be a surgeon, and I just stepped out of surgery to tell you a thing or two about Obamacare. Don't cut me off.
On my way to the DA's office.
Really? Do you want your surgeon to step out of surgery to call a talk radio show?
As
really?
An airline pilot, I'm slash
yes,
doctor slash DA.
I have
DA.
Put the plane on autopilot to tell you. Wait, how are you listening? Are you in the air? What are you doing? Okay. Let's go to...
In all my time in the space shuttle, I discovered that. Right.
Uh-huh. Right. Kyle in New Jersey, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Kyle.
Hey, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
Hey, the reason that the problem is there's a big disparity. 95% of all the gains since the president's been in office has gone to the top 1% or 2% of the population. The unemployment rate is higher. Number of people in unemployment is higher than the entire population of Spain. The number of people that are on...
It's fallen to 6.5%.
The number of people on food... Yeah. The number of people
no, no,
on
no,
food
no.
stamps
yes,
is
yes,
bigger.
Yes, yes,
no, no, no.
Yes,
no,
yes,
see,
yes.
You're looking at something called U3, which doesn't count people that have fallen off the rolls because
know,
they've been unemployed so long that they're
I
not
counting. I understand
counted.
That. Remember when they said the president did the unemployment would be down 8%? Okay, well, now it's 6.5%. See? Nothing.
Yep.
I understand we still have a ways to go, as the president always says, but... The calls are awfully trolly this morning, aren't they?
They are.
How long will it be before someone calls from Boucher Hospital?
Where good doctors have bold ideas. Voucher Hospital.
Brought to you by Filner's Spittoons with state-of-the-art saliva collection technology.
Nurses to the nurses.
Doctor, we have an emergency. A patient with an acute subdural hematoma.
That's right, doctor. He has increased intracranial pressure, hemorrhaging of the temporoparietal locus, and must undergo endoscopic surgery immediately.
Yes, I concur. Prep for surgery at once.
Wait, doctor. There's a discussion about Obamacare on AM radio.
Will soon take on a much different meaning.
I must take this. Everyone stand by.
But doctor, what about the patient?
You don't understand. I'm a surgeon who listens to both sides and stumbled upon this argument on my way to surgery. I must respond. Nurse, give me that phone.
Nurse, give him that phone stat.
Tune in to Voucher Hospital next time to see if Obamacare covers Obama derangement syndrome.
Thank you, Roger. Can you imagine you're in the anesthetic, like backwards count? 3, 2. Wait a minute. You're going where? You have to call a talk. Wait a minute. I'm almost. Okay. Oh, by the way, the healthcare website, the security has passed with flying colors.
Oh, good.
By the way, in addition to Iran has stopped enriching uranium.
Yes.
Ah, listen.
Whatever.
It's not important now. Congressional Republicans have invested considerable energy of late in raising security fears over healthcare.gov.
Mm-hmm.
That's the new thing they've moved on to.
Mm.
You shouldn't. I heard Rush Limbaugh. Oh God, you don't want to go on there and steal all your information.
Yeah. Brett Baer opens with that story every day on Special Report.
Right.
Yep.
Right. Nearly 3 months after its launch, healthcare.gov underwent end-to-end security testing and passed with flying colors. There have been no successful security attacks on the federal marketplace. No person or group has maliciously accessed personally identifiable information, said the top cybersecurity official.
Yeah, passed with flying colors, but they're the wrong colors.
By the way, let's forget, like a month ago, Republicans on the House Oversight Committee said her perspective was critically important. Now she's an idiot. Now she's a complete idiot because... Now they're less eager to tout her assessment. By the way, you know who might end up making sure that it's not secure? Noted asshat Daryl Issa.
Uh-huh.
Elijah Cummings, Representative Cummings, said Issa is sharing sensitive information with outside consultants who haven't been authorized by the committee.
Oh.
He said the most credible threat to the website security may be the loudest critic of the website security, Representative Daryl Issa.
It's like this guy's a car thief or something.
Oh, wait.
Right. And then invents a car alarm.
Huh.
Crazy. Okay. Karen in Florida, real quick. Hello, Karen.
Hello, Stephanie. How are you?
Hi, good. Go ahead.
Oh, I broke the cardinal rule. Sorry. I think this witch hunt, if you want to call it that, on Chris Christie, isn't coming from the left. It's coming from the right. I think when this is all said and done, you're going to find out the Koch brothers paid for this. They can't have win in the primaries.
Oh, interesting. Well, you know, a lot of people said that. Not a lot of...
Yeah.
Republicans rushing to his defense, oddly.
No.
All right, 58 minutes after the hour. Charlie Pierce, much more as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
It do, don't it?
Yeah. It is The Stephanie Miller Show, 6 minutes after the hour. Charlie Pierce of Esquire.com. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, stephaniemiller.com. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller, like Jody from New Jersey did. Steph, according to Representative Alan Rothelsberg.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. Republican. If he was a woman over 50, he wouldn't need any gynecological services. He just said that during a House Commerce, Labor, and Economic Development hearing recently. Because I guess nothing matters. It's going on down there. In your lady bits after 50.
Is anything going on down there, Steph?
No, he's correct. Barren wasteland. P.S., Chris is utterly hysterical, what with his cringing every time Fred goes near him. Right?
Well, the last hour, we were trying to have a serious discussion about the pros and cons of NSA. And,
well, that's why I send Fred in to distract you, so that I can win the argument.
I know. And I couldn't concentrate on what you were saying because I was like,
exactly.
Welcome to my underground lair.
I'm not averse to cheating to win an argument. All right, I just need a couple of frigging white sharks. Furry white sharks with laser beams attached to their head.
Throw me a frickin' bone here. I'm the boss. Need the info.
Right. Here, I got you a present. It's Queen Bee in Tennessee. Hi, Queen Bee. You're on with your bow.
Hi, y'all.
Hi, Queen Bee.
Hello, sexy Chris.
How you doing?
I'm doing great.
It's for you, wrong tree.
I just had a good conversation with T.
Travis,
little sweet. He's my little sweet potato, you know.
Sweet tea.
Oh, gosh.
I have one thing to contribute to your conversation about Chris Christie.
Yes.
He is a blowhard, egotistical bully.
Yep.
That's all I got to say.
It's on his business card.
That's hard to fit on there.
Aw.
Oh, boy. All right. So, Charlie Pierce for you. Queen Bee for you at the top of the hour. Charlie Pierce at the bottom
for
you.
I love my Queen Bee.
Oh, God. So sad on so
weird,
many levels.
Dysfunctional family.
Exactly. Oh, by the way, speaking of her, what is her sweet potato, Travis?
Yeah.
Who is, as we all know, a brony.
He is a brony.
I know what I'm getting him for Christmas now.
What?
Have you seen this? There's sex toys for bronies now that are available.
Oh. What? Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
Why do you want to know?
Jesse alerted me to this. Mom and the Mook, sex toys for bronies, that's a thing now. Brony up, everybody. The new line of sex toys for bronies are brothers who fervently enjoy the My Little Pony show.
Okay.
You just put one on and you look like you have your own neon-colored ponytail. It's the rainbow-colored tails that are attached to things that go up here.
Yeah. Wow.
Tasha's rainbow pony plugs come in pink, blue, yellow, purple, and they retail at only $125. There they are. Look.
Wow.
You can choose your color. Whole rainbow of colors there. Pony plugs aim for a niche market, I'll say.
Yeah.
They fit in a certain niche for sure.
Yeah.
The niche, not as small as you might think, sadly. At places like Etsy.com.
Right.
There are pony ears and noses in the hole to do, apparently.
It's all kinds of cosplay.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Right.
You know what? And I've tried to not even think about what Travis does in non-work hours, but...
I can show you.
Now we know.
No.
And that's the rest of the story.
You can let me know which color you'd like for Christmas.
Okay, I will do that.
Okay. All right, so...
Oh, God, are you okay?
Need tail end. No, I'm good. Tail end of my you know, my Ebola.
Sure.
Okay. So anyway, I was telling Jim and you about Meet the Press yesterday about Dianne Feinstein talking about whether Edward Snowden was getting help from the Russians. Here is that exchange. David Gregory and Senator Dianne Feinstein on.
You agree with Chairman Rogers that he may have had help from the Russians?
He may well have. We don't know at this stage.
Yeah.
Pure
speculation.
Yeah, I mean, but I'm just saying I understood some of the points that this did seem a little, you know, I mean, so they were saying some of it beyond his technical capabilities, the fact that he ended up there. I mean, I she was careful to say we don't know yet, but.
You know what? She and Mike Rogers, they're part of committees that see a lot more information than we do. So they may have some indication.
Right. Well, that's why I was saying I'll be honest about saying I do trust Democrats more on this. So Representative, what's his name? He has that weird name. Ruppelsberger.
Yes.
Has also seen all this stuff, you know, has echoed some of this. Jim, you talked about yesterday because you said I don't see the damage. And somebody wrote earlier and was saying, you know, part of it's because it's classified, so you don't know. But
my point. We don't know
right.
What damage may or may not.
But what do you make
occurred.
Of? Because obviously, part of what they were discussing is that a lot of what they're saying, at least, you know, the Pentagon for one did a formal assessment of what the damage was or wasn't, and they said a lot of the stolen NSA documents concern ongoing military operations. I mean, that's not good for America, right? I mean, because all I'm saying is a lot of this had nothing to do with Americans' privacy, the stuff that he released. It was a piece about Snowden's damage. The Pentagon has come up with the first formal assessment, and it's chilling. We talked about this yesterday. Mr. Snowden copied 1.7 million intelligence files, according to the Pentagon's Defense Intelligence Agency, nearly double the highest previous estimate. The Pentagon found most of the stolen documents concern and potentially compromise ongoing military operations, and that may be what they've seen that we haven't seen. The NSA and CIA are still doing their own assessments. The Snowden documents could gravely impact U.S. national security and put defense personnel into harm's way, jeopardize the success of our current Department of Defense operation. Says the Pentagon report.
But we don't know what's being done in our name because it's all classified and above our pay grade.
Well, but some of it needs to be classified.
Well,
you know?
I know, but I'm saying not everything that we're doing is necessarily beneficial or good, and we don't know.
Remember Geraldo, like, writing the troop movements in the sand? It's like, you dummy!
And, you know, and history has shown that government can't be entirely trustworthy.
No.
Unfortunately.
Even
if we have a trustworthy president in the White House.
I got it. Let me read the end of the – this is just the Pentagon. This is the first agency that's done an assessment. The stories in the media based on a few of the files have exposed U.S. tactics and harm relations with allies. The bulk of the documents pertain to Pentagon operations against terrorists, cyber criminals, drugs, and weapons smugglers and American adversaries. Snowden handed terrorists a copy – oh, this is Ruppelsberger. This is who I was talking about, the Democrat on the committee. He said Snowden handed terrorists a copy of our country's playbook, and now we're paying the price. Ruppelsberger said, we have begun to see terrorists changing their methods because of the leaks, and this report indicates that the harm to our country and its citizens will only continue to endure.
Well, if they're changing their methods, it means we're onto them. So,
but no, it's because they know what we're doing to track them is what the point is. Senator Leahy talking about the privacy aspect.
There's going to be a lot of questions, again, from both Republicans and Democrats who are concerned that we're going too much in the privacy of Americans.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is that this is not reliably partisan issue, really.
No.
Representative Mike Rogers, a Republican on the committee, Dianne Feinstein's counterpart.
Some of the things that he did were beyond his technical capabilities. Raises more questions. How he arranged travel before he left, how he was ready to go. I believe there's a reason he ended up in the hands, the loving arms of an FSB agent in Moscow. I don't think that's a coincidence.
And again,
it's a bit of a stretch
Jim, will that affect how you feel about it if that is proven that he had help from the Russians?
Well, that would be a serious case, you know. Yeah. if we're
sure,
I mean, I don't trust Putin as far as I can throw him, you know, but
and he tried to go to several other places. Didn't he try to go to Ecuador and Cuba? He finally ended up going to Hong Kong, and then he
right, well, that's
Hong
why
Kong
a lot of people
to,
don't trust that he hasn't given information to those countries, and we don't, how do you again, don't know yet. Mike Morrell, former deputy CIA director.
The disclosures that have been coming recently are very sophisticated in their content and sophisticated in their timing, almost too sophisticated for Mr. Snowden to be deciding on his own. And seems to me he might be getting some help.
It seems, I think.
Right.
I presume.
Yeah.
And he's a former CIA
deputy
director, so he doesn't have any current information.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about one thing we can all agree on, and that is Sarah Palin.
You are an idiot.
How many times do I have to say why, Chris? Why? Why does she think we care what she thinks about everything?
But she's dumb when she thinks.
Why the occasion of Martin Luther King Day yesterday? Why does that encourage her to say anything?
God.
She began her Facebook post, as she does. Happy MLK Junior Day. Mr. President, in honor of Martin Luther King and all who commit to ending any racial divide, no more playing the race card.
Oh, you idiot. When did he play the race card?
Oh, my God.
By being all
Well, racism
black
is over because we have a black president, you see. So there's no need to talk about it anymore. yeah.
Hey.
Playing the race card doesn't mean ignoring race altogether, lady.
Right. Yeah, because if he ever mentions race, then he is, you see, playing the race
a
card.
Racist.
When she says he's shucking and jiving on Benghazi, that's not racist. That's not playing the race card. That was just a clinky-dink.
Mm-hmm. It's just the way they talk up there in Alaska.
Right.
Nobody talks like that in Alaska. She's the
only
one.
Nobody talks like that anywhere. It's not even English. All right, 18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Very interesting, but stupid.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Steffi. Steffi.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 23 minutes after the hour. Huh. Jim usually has the crossword puzzle done by now. I wonder what's wrong.
What's wrong, Jim? Are you okay?
Jim never finishes a crossword puzzle before 8 o'clock.
I bet he's cheating on me. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Pam in Seattle, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Pam.
Hi.
Hi.
Congratulations, Jim. I haven't even started my crossword this morning. I do want to encourage you to interview Dan Ellsberg. I think it'd be really interesting for your audience. When he and Tony Russo put out the Pentagon Papers, they were, oh my God, what they went through, and many of the same reasonings. You know, the later they said, well, the Vietnamese knew where they were being bombed. We really didn't have to tell them. We had to tell the American people what's going on.
Exactly.
And that's what's happening with this case.
Yeah, but see, I think there's just key differences. I really do.
Well, Daniel Ellsberg says...
Talk to Dan.
All right, let's talk to Dan.
I heard him on this subject, and he's fabulous.
Yeah.
And when you look at just the fact that the American people didn't know the Chelsea Manning stuff, think about her case. When you said there's no reason why he couldn't just turn himself in. You know, when they caught Tony after the Pentagon Papers were exposed, they beat the hell out of him.
Tony?
Dan, Tony Russo.
I'm sorry.
And the exposure of the Pentagon Papers.
Right.
Chelsea Manning has suffered tremendously.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, I don't disagree on that. But, yeah, I got some email about me saying things about Chelsea Manning. I'm like, I don't even remember us talking very much about. And, again, I think it was the amount of stuff that she dumped.
I wish we could get Dan Ellsberg. That would be fascinating.
Travis, get on that. Stop shopping for Bernie sex toys.
Ellsberg says the Snowden revelations are more significant than the Pentagon Papers or Manning's WikiLeaks.
That was the only thing I remember someone saying, right, Jim, about the Chelsea Manning leaks. It's just I don't know how you – there's got to be some balance, and you can't just go, anybody can just leak any classified. There was – I mean, the breadth of stuff that she leaked was breathtaking.
Yep.
I mean, I don't see how you operate as a country where we go, that's just okay. Anybody can leak anything and it's fine. There's no penalty for that.
Anything, but But I mean, I'm glad Daniel Ellsberg did reveal what was going on in Vietnam because maybe you didn't know that.
But he also stayed and faced the music. I'm just saying, there's reasons people are saying a lot of the things they're
saying. Well, so is Chelsea Manning.
Chelsea Manning
definitely
did too.
Right. Yes, but again, what was
prison? She.
Right.
No, she. Okay.
You're gonna get that mail now. Okay, let's go to Frank in Charlotte. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Frank.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning, hey, yes.
I just want to make the point on that New Yorker interview with Barack Obama, that, mm-hmm. that 30-point swing from when he was elected at 70% job approval to high 30s, low 40s has absolutely nothing to do with racism. And the reason I say that is because at 70%...
Absolutely nothing? Really?
And here, well, I'll finish. Let me finish. Okay. That 70% had the race factor in it then at that survey when it was done, just like it did in 2014. That element is present in both surveys. So he would have us believe that suddenly the racism...
He didn't say it's all racism. Come on, Frank, give me a break. He said, I'm sure some people don't like me because I'm black. I mean, what, really? Yeah. Do you think? I mean, are you aware of the amount of racist statements that people have made about him?
No, I agree with
you. And these are prominent people on the right.
Well, I agree with that point, but that point, that percent of people that represent that were present in the survey in 2009 as well.
Okay, all of these, like, the racist statements have been made since he's been president. I mean, yes, many of us, when he was elected, hoped we were in a post-racial America. But when I just mentioned Sarah Palin saying, oh, he's shucking and jiving on Benghazi. I mean, you can pick a million different statements people have made that are blatantly racist.
My point is that the swing, the 30-point swing, the amount of people who now have decided they're racist against the president, I don't think it's any more than it was in 2009. And I don't think we've had an increase for him to be able to point to it and say, see, some people believe that, so that's part of my lower numbers. Well,
I don't know. How can anybody know what degree of racism? You've seen all of these racist emails going around the country and a Republican chairman getting caught forwarding them.
Yeah,
come on.
But
you know that some of this
part of it is racism.
Is,
you know, the rollout to Obamacare, which is
overhyped. The NSA, this NSA thing, that's done some damage. So,
Right. My point is that because there's been such... He can't do anything right to the right wing, anything he does. I mean, there has never been this level of obstructionism.
The NSA stuff is more the left's... Well, it's not just the left. The people on the right is very concerned about it, too.
Right, but my point is just pick anything. It's not just Obamacare. It's anything he's done there against.
Every president has brickbats thrown at them by the other side.
Oh, mm-hmm. not to the... This is provably this kind of obstruction. As Jim has said over and over again, whatever he is for, they're against it. It doesn't matter what it is.
Whatever Bush was for, you were against it.
Well, because he was wrong.
Okay, see?
He's
trying to get you to see it from
wrong.
The other side.
He was provably wrong.
Yeah, okay.
Barbara in Florida, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Barb.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for your show and the humor that you inject into some otherwise really dismal subjects.
Thank you.
I wanted to say real quickly that Obama needs to act alone to institute a WPA CCC camp type program before he goes out.
Mm-hmm.
Because while you're talking about Sandy funds being a political football, unemployment levels, here in our state, our Republican Governor Rick Scott, D-partier, has denied funds for high-speed rail from Orlando to Tampa, which cost jobs, and he stopped Medicare funding to help the poor people who don't have health care. I have been in San Leandro, in the San Francisco Bay Area, and seen WPA sidewalks that are still being used today.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Yep. 29 minutes after the hour, Charlie Pierce, Jim, next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I have passed some line someplace. I am beginning to repel people. I'm trying to seduce.
Story of my life.
That's not new. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, good. Things are back to normal. Jim is working his way through the crossword puzzle.
Oh, my God.
I was nervous.
The Earth is back in its orbit.
I thought I had head lice. Okay.
What? Now, that's why you repel people that you're trying to seduce. You tell them you have head lice.
I don't.
Anymore.
All right.
You got rid of them.
I love Jim, so I got him again.
There's only one man now that understands. And that's the author of Idiot America.
Pierce. Charlie Pierce, political columnist for Esquire.com.
Why is everybody always laughing with me?
Hi, Charlie Pierce.
There's absolutely nothing wrong with headlights. Without them, you couldn't drive at night.
That's right. Hey. See what you did there, Charlie Pierce. Charlie Pierce.
Did you have to put, like, Vaseline and cellophane on your head?
Is that how you get rid of head lice if you don't have any?
Chris, you obviously have never had kids in elementary school.
No, thank God.
Lice check is a big annual event.
Oh, gross. Yuck. I don't think I had lice check when I was a kid.
No.
You didn't have hair. You always had that. No, actually, no. I've seen the younger Chris LaVoy when you didn't have the buzz cut.
Yeah. Yeah,
I have seen
none of us have little germ wagons. Anyway, you were mentioned about the Chris Christie thing. Interesting, you say MSNBC has a bit of a problem on its hands. Several of their programs, kindly Doc Maddow, recently Steve Kornacki have been killing it on the George Washington Bridge story. Yeah, that's some journalism happening there. You say unfortunately the morning squint crew is so deeply in the tank to Big Chicken that the two hosts may not dry off until after the 2016 Iowa caucuses. I've heard a lot about this, right? Because they seem dumbstruck. They're like, our friend, Chris Christie, our friend is what? Yeah, it's awkward, right?
Well, I mean, the most you can say for them is that they're upfront about it.
Right.
I mean, they do tell you that they like the guy and, you know, they like his wife, and apparently Christie called Mika before his press conference to be, you know, so Mika can give him the kind of inspiration she gives to America every morning. Which is basically to say, what's on the Today Show this morning?
You say that, you know, you sum it up. Some people at MSNBC are doing real reporting here, and some people are carrying water, and a news organization ought to protect the former from the cheap derision of the latter. I think Eric Bollert pointed out yesterday, Charlie, that, I mean, how long has Fox been beating the Benghazi drum and there's no there? And, you know, MSNBC has broken open a real story, you know, regardless of what happens now, right, in a very short order.
Oh, I agree. I mean, I think the only parallel you can possibly draw between what's going on at MSNBC now and what might have happened at Fox were those rare occasions when Chef Smith used to go off the reservation.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, exactly.
And I guess Geraldo during Katrina, now that I think about it.
What is your take on the latest? We were just laughing. That was some of the worst acting I ever saw, the lieutenant governor denying the claims of the Hoboken mayor. How do you see
this? Is this my mark? Do I stand here? Good. this is none of this is true.
Yes.
I was there, and I know. Look. I think he's still viable as long as there's nothing that directly ties him to any of this. I mean, if it's just will no one rid me of this meddlesome priest kind of thing, then I think he survives. I mean, I think the Pew poll, which shows his approval rating dropping, with everybody except Republicans.
Thanks
so
for
I think
you.
He's still. I mean, I think he's still viable. But you know, it's going to be drip, drip, drip at this point, and I don't know that, you know, it's an the other interesting media story for me is the dichotomy between the elite National Political Press Corps and local reporters.
Yeah.
I mean, the local reporters are the ones who are doing the real work here.
Yeah, well, Steve Kornacki, because he was a New Jersey reporter, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, he started out apparently at a website run by this Wildstein guy.
Right.
Who was operating on, you know, calling himself Zorro or, you know, the Green Lantern. Or
nice Beckett reference, by the way. I like the... I was in that play.
And by the by, your piece on the freedom, the nicely named Freedom Industries, this is just, you know, of a theme, isn't it, with this fertilizer plant blowing up in Texas?
Well, we had two explosions last. We had two industrial disasters yesterday. There was an animal supplements plant collapsed in Omaha, and another plant blew up in Oklahoma just yesterday.
Wow.
That, if you look at the blog today, you'll see it. It's been a bad couple of weeks for deregulated America.
Yeah, and on cue,
I mean, Virginia gets its water poisoned, and then those guys run and hide in the law books to avoid their responsibility.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah, I love that. Didn't they say, like, oh, you know, residents have the freedom to drink the water if they want. We're not going to give you any advice.
Wow.
Like, really? Look at it.
Well, and then Joe Manchin, who's putatively a Democrat, the senator from West Virginia, gets up and says, "Hey, you know, we're West Virginians. We're tough. Life is full of risk."
Yeah,
fine,
thanks,
Joe. You're drinking
like
the water in Washington.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. But I mean, it's just, you know.
Well, welcome to corporate
fascist
America.
It's serious. It is time to get serious about the relationship between government and capital in this country again.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, John Boehner,
the only thing that we have to save us from the excesses of what the business community can do to us is the government. And it's time for the government to take that job back.
Well, John Boehner on Q, of course, said what the problem, of course, is too much regulation, and he's getting checks from the same, you know, industry,
people who
right?
are poisoning the country.
Yeah, but I mean, the Democrats jumped on the deregulation bandwagon too. Mm-hmm. I mean, over the last 30 years, there's a lot of economic trends that were very bipartisan over the last 35 years that are hurting people now that have to be reversed, especially at the state level.
Yeah,
because it isn't part of being free. That, you know, you have to wonder if you're going to come home from work every day.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. All right, let's get to the part that Jim's been waiting for, the part where you agree with him on the NSA and all this stuff. But I was saying it's interesting, Charlie, on Q today, of course, you know, this group of 17 former, you know, whoever CIA and counterterrorism people said that this is the president went too far. This is now. Now terrorists are going to kill us because the president went too far. And obviously people like you and Jim think he didn't do anything. What did you say? You say the one thing you felt that his speech was not was an attempt to strike a balance between the
surveillance state and civil liberties. There's no balance when we discuss this. The debate is always how much of our civil liberties do we give up.
Right. Yeah.
What precisely has the NSA given up? Well, and don't tell me what the NSA says it's given up, because there's no reason to trust them.
Exactly.
Right. But so what of the stuff that the – I mean, obviously the president basically sent this back to Congress, right? I mean
– Well, to an extent, but he also made it quite clear that the essential philosophy that was put in place after 9/11 through the Patriot Act and a number of other things remains in place, that civil liberties have to be tailored to suit this new and dangerous threat.
Well, you know, you say one thing that I agree with. You said this is not balanced. This is the government and the person of this president telling you what you have to give up in order to be safe. And I will admit to Charlie, do I trust him more than President Bush? Yes, I do. And you know, you're right. Maybe that's wrong.
I don't trust any president with that power.
But you say perhaps the country is willing to live with the arrangement, but it's a lie to call it balance. You know, it was interesting. You quoted a lot of the president's speech, and I was laughing because I was reading it, and I thought it was you saying it, and then I was like, Charlie was a former senator? Oh,
no.
Wait a minute. This
no,
is
no,
the president's
I don't, speech. I don't speak in italics. Yeah.
No, I got it. I got it. But, I'm just saying I understood some of the points that he made, and, you know, he said the horror, as you quote him, the horror of September 11th brought all these issues to the fore. Across the political spectrum, Americans recognized we had to adapt to a world in which a bomb could be built in a basement or our electric grid could be shut down by operators an ocean away.
I think that was the president again.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. You were quoting him, but, I mean, you know.
Yeah, and when I was a kid, we had to give up these freedoms because we had thousands of Russian missiles pointed at us.
Right.
It's always in words of whatever comedian it was, it's always something.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Charlie, what so
yeah, but well, I think we get, I, mean, well, I think a lot of stuff is getting missed in this whole Glenn Greenwald's a schmuck, Edward Snowden's and by the way,
exactly.
Anybody who says Edward Snowden is a traitor should shut up. There's very because being a traitor is very specifically defined in the Constitution and he doesn't fit it.
Right.
Okay? You can say what he did to damage the country. I don't have a problem with that.
What if we find out that he did get help from the Russians?
No,
the Russians aren't our enemies. Read the Constitution. Right. Treason is a very carefully specific. Defined crime, and it's defined that way for a reason. It's the only crime specifically mentioned in the Constitution.
And Daniel Ellsberg
says
Snowden's a patriot. So,
doesn't have to be that either.
I disagree with that as well. I mean,
yeah,
it's,
he's,
yeah,
he's neither.
Yeah. Charlie, you know, it's interesting. One of the things the president said he's talking about NSA people, to the contrary, in an extraordinarily difficult job, one in which actions are second-guessed, success is unreported, and failure can be catastrophic, the men and women of the intelligence agency, including the NSA, consistently follow protocols designed to protect the privacy of ordinary people. I mean, I don't know.
How do we know that?
Did you see Bill Maher by chance or this week?
I did.
But I just thought it was an interesting interview with Glenn Greenwald because, you know, he basically was saying, look, some of the stuff Snowden says is crazy and sort of implying that everyone is malevolent and nosy at the NSA. I mean, I think that's also incorrect.
You want to hear
everyone? Okay. Any sentence containing the word everyone, I will grant you. But the idea that the NSA has not exceeded its mandate and that we have to believe that because the NSA tells us so is just crazy.
Well,
that,
Frank Church
that's
talked...
Not that, that's not the way an informed citizenry should react.
Yeah. Frank Church talked about this in 1975.
I quoted the Pike Report yesterday about the NSA, and it was quaintly because what they were talking about then were telegrams and what we call telexes.
Right.
Yep.
The NSA's desire to know everything about everyone has never changed.
Mm-hmm.
That is their bureaucratic imperative.
Right.
Now, you can tell me that all these safeguards...
Charlie, what do you think should...
But you can't tell me what the safeguards are.
Right.
But
what should they be?
Because they're secret.
Yeah, right, because it's classified.
But
Charlie, in your opinion, what would you like to see the president propose then, or what should we do?
I would like the FISA court to be done away with, or at least brought into the open.
I agree.
I mean, the FISA court was supposed to be a safeguard. When it came out of the Church Committee, it was supposed to be a safeguard. It turned into a rubber stamp.
Right.
There's no reason for the FISA court to be secret.
Kangaroo court.
We should know. We should know.
This is what Frank Church said in 1975. I know the capacity, talking about the NSA, know the capacity that there is to make tyranny total in America. We must see to it that this agency and all agencies that possess this technology operate within the law and under proper supervision so that we never cross that abyss, an abyss from which there is no return.
I mean, congressional oversight is a joke.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to know what? I mean, I would like to see, although you would have to elect an entirely different Congress, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
I would like to see congressional oversight actually function as oversight.
Mm-hmm.
Not as a rubber stamp. I thought what we heard from the
If Congress's approval ratings are any indication, America agrees with you.
I don't care what the Congress's approval rating is. I thought what Dianne Feinstein and Mike Rogers and Mike McCall did on the Sunday shows this weekend was McCarthyism, pure and simple.
I disagree, but I understand
you can't say somebody is operating under foreign influence unless you're willing to produce the proof. Right. Otherwise, they said we don't know yet. We're not sure, but all indications are that is working for them.
They put doubt in people's heads.
I have in my hand a list. I have in my hand a list of 350 guys.
Right, but you can't. You also you can't say he's a hero and a patriot. I don't believe that either.
I don't care what you want to call him. I don't want members of Congress dealing in McCarthyism. I don't care who it's directed at.
Mm-hmm.
And that was disgraceful this weekend. And they all should be ashamed.
Right, and you know, I read a piece by wrote a piece about Glenn Greenwald accused him of being of McCarthyism because he disagrees with what Snowden and Greenwald are doing.
I don't care about Glenn Greenwald. Glenn Greenwald can't make the laws.
Right.
Dianne Feinstein, Mike Rogers, and Mike McCall make the laws.
Yeah, you're right.
That's infinitely different.
Mm-hmm.
Right, but they were elected. That's the other argument that people have about Snowden and
Joseph McCarthy was elected. Was Joseph McCarthy good for the country?
No, of course not.
Okay, thank you. All right.
I just fell into that trap. All right. Charlie Pierce, I love you. We're out of time. In fact, we went late.
Oh, really? Goodbye.
I think you won, Charlie.
Yeah.
You did not. I love you. Goodbye. I let him speak his piece respectfully. Because I have him. I know he goes, Charlie Pierce is on. He's on every Tuesday. I disagree with he and Rude Pundit a lot. They're hardly happy clappy Obama apologists. So there.
Like you.
Right. What? I just fell into another bear trap. Okay, 48 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Very interesting, but stupid.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 53 minutes after the hour. Apparently, we're the only three people listening now.
Oh, really? Why?
Yes.
What's that?
Well, because some people that disagree with Jim on Snowden say they turn the show off when Jim starts talking about Snowden, and people that disagree with me say they turn the show off when I start talking about Snowden.
So pretty much nobody's listening.
Right. Nobody is listening anymore except for us.
And Max and
because Fred. A lot of the rods up those people's butts have a rod up there. Up their butt.
Good Lord.
All right.
The rod up that man's butt must have a rod up its butt.
All right. No more issues with any kind of nuance or anything. Or any gray areas of any kind.
Are you making fun of our listeners?
Let's not have debate any issues on a talk radio show. That would be... Yes. Yes, I am. Okay.
Can we agree that puppies are cute?
Okay, look, now everybody's back.
And the pizza is tasty.
I hear the click of 1,000 radio knobs turning back on.
Except for those really ugly puppies.
Like Sharpays?
Yeah.
Oh, don't say that. My friends have Sharpays.
No, they're cute. And they're
We're going to keep quiet for fear of insulting your friend who has a Sharpay.
And Britt Hume.
I'm right like...
Okay.
We
are helpers. How many times have we suggested perhaps a shower cap?
Yeah.
Perhaps a clothespin on the back of his head?
A chip clip.
To bring the chip folds clip. Up so we can hear what he's saying.
A chip clip on the back of his head. That would work.
Use them in the voiceover world to put your copy up on the stand and use a chip clip to hold it in place.
There you go.
Right. Just to take a couple of folds back so we can have any idea what he's saying, because otherwise you... And we should point out that was not edited audio.
No.
That was actual.
Actual Britt Hume audio.
Okay. Cindy in, rest my case. Cindy in Michigan, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Cindy.
Hey, Steph and Mook.
Hi.
I wanted to get back to this with President Obama playing the race card that the right wing thinks he's doing that because of this New Yorker piece.
Right.
Last night on Charlie Rose, even the writer from the New Yorker pointed out how the right wing has decided to take this quote out of context.
Right.
And that the president had said some people don't approve of his presidency because he's black, but he also recognizes that some people approve of him because he's black, and he benefits from one, and he does not benefit from the other.
So, cancels
so for me,
out.
When I heard the whole quote was, now I realize that these people are racist because they've only focused on one part of the quote, which validates him as this radical black man with a chip on his shoulder.
Right.
And they're choosing to only see that part, including the caller a few calls ago that wanted to argue about this, that 70% of the people approved of him and now only 39% of people approved of him and et cetera. That 70% approval, all of those people didn't vote for him because he only... We have about 50%, you know.
That's right.
52 or something. So what they were approving of was themselves. The approval rating was, look at me. I'm not a racist.
Yeah.
I like him personally.
Yeah.
But when he started to have policies that they said, wait a minute, he's not giving enough to big business or he's not giving enough tax breaks to the rich. I don't like him. Well, at that point, now the divide comes, their perspective. But when they take this out of context, it completely is racist.
Yeah.
Because you have decided not to see the other part of his quote, which he even will admit.
Yeah. I mean, you know, how many times have you heard Rush Limbaugh say Colin Powell only is for him because he's black? You know, a lot of people only voted for him because he's black. I mean, that's blatantly racist.
Mm-hmm.
Paul in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Paul.
Hello, Stephanie, Jim, Chris. Love you all.
Thank you.
Hey, where is it written in stone that a whistleblower has to stand there and wait to get arrested?
Why is
that part of the rules? I check mismanners. It is truly not there.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the point I think a lot of people have tried to make about a whistleblower is normally the classic definition is you're in a job and you discover something illegal and it goes against your conscience and you blow the whistle on it. That's not what happened here.
Well, I think it is to some extent.
What do you mean? You know that he planned to do this when he took the job. I mean, somebody did a whole analogy to you yesterday about working at Jim Ward Industries for the sole purpose, getting a job there for the sole purpose of stealing secrets, which I bet you there's a lot of them. Just saying.
Oh, I'm sure there's a lot of secrets at Jim Ward International.
Who can say? Carol in New York, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Carol.
I got a happy, clappy thought for everybody.
Yay.
99.999% of what has to be done to turn all this stuff around with the NSA and everything like that has to be done by Congress.
Mm-hmm.
President Obama is not a dictator. He did not put these things in place. They've been in place for years. People have been spying on us and doing all kinds of crazy stuff long before President Obama was even a state senator.
Yeah.
So we can't afford to sit out another election like we did 2010. We want this stuff to get changed. We have to do it because a lot of this stuff falls on us.
Yep, that is absolutely right. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies
and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
The Stephanie Miller Show. Right, just when someone calls and says the president is playing the race card, or is that what Sarah Palin said?
Uh-huh.
For mentioning race?
Yep.
And someone says not racism at all, his approval ratings. Florida House candidate calls for the hanging of President Obama.
Oh, nice.
No racial undertones
no,
there at all.
No, of course not.
Yeah, you're right. We're in a totally post-racial.
He's not from Lynchburg, by any chance, is he?
No, but my sister and her family are.
Yeah. I've driven through Lynchburg.
Oof.
I'd make a wide berth around something with Lynch in the name.
All right, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Jim is just, he's the last person, the last straggler on Team Ebola to get better.
Yeah, I've had this cough for about 1,000 years now.
Yes. It could be worse. You could be the man that tried to vacuum a cockroach out of his ear.
What? Whoa. What? No!
Ow!
Ow! Ow!
He needed a wax vac.
A roach vac. Roach
right?
vac. Yeah.
An Australian man who woke up with pain in his...
Bloody,
his
right,
bloody hell.
Got a rash
in his right ear.
Ear.
Went to a hospital where doctors killed and then removed the cockroach.
Oh, he was still alive. Oh.
He said he figured some creature was to blame, so he tried to suck it out with a vacuum and then flush it out with water. Those efforts apparently made the roach angrier.
Of course.
You wouldn't like him when he's angry.
Oh, yikes.
And caused more pain. He went to the hospital where a doctor poured olive oil. That's what you do, apparently.
Oh, yeah,
poured
okay.
olive oil in his ear.
So I guess there were no roaches in Italy.
this is kind of gross. So causing the roach to burrow further. In
yeah.
The,
yeesh. No.
And then suffocate to death. And then the roach was removed. So there's a magical happy ending.
Wow. So that guy can get a job for roach vac now.
Right. Right.
Ow!
Not as bad as the man who, got a bottle stuck up his butt, had no clue how it got there.
Huh. Had no clue.
It's our ongoing feature, people who get things stuck up
how
their butt.
How did that happen?
What the? A man who arrived.
Again?
Oh, boy. A man who arrived at his local hospital complaining of stomach pains was found to have a bottle lodged deep inside his abdomen. No memory of how it got there.
How big a bottle are we talking?
The gastro
jugs of Gallo, you know. Okay. No?
The gastroenterologist said it reminds me of my residency. I once saw a guy with a French's mustard bottle in his colon. Ooh, that is spicy.
It reminds me of the Vicar story.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, made it the rounds on Facebook again as a fresh story. And I'm like,
oh no, that's
no,
old.
That happened years and years
2006
ago.
2006 is fresh.
The Vicar got a potato.
Let's review. Oh, he had to have a potato removed from his
bum.
Because
right.
he was hanging curtains in the nude.
In the nude, as you
and
do.
And fell on a potato.
On a potato. And, and that's how that happened.
Right.
And then he got a job in the Christie administration.
Ah.
Okay. Because that seems plausible. Okay. Oh, Pooty Poot. Vladimir Putin, he's just really going out of his way to show how really, really not, how much he loves the homosexual, as you would say, Jim.
I'm not homosexual. I do not like homosexual, same I am.
Do you have any Russian music for us?
Sure.
Elton John is huge in Russia, so gay people should feel totally welcome at the Olympics, according to President Vladimir Putin.
Okay.
He reiterated that Russia would not discriminate against gay and lesbian athletes or visitors during the upcoming Olympics. Putin used Elton John as an example, calling him an outstanding person and musician, adding, millions of our people sincerely love him despite his orientation.
Despite being homosexual.
Right, his homosexual orientation. Oh, okay. Oh, okay, then I guess your laws aren't anti-gay because you like Elton John. He's working my last nerve. He would like Professor Dick Swab.
What?
Sorry, what?
That's his actual name.
No, wow. He goes by Dick.
Dick Swab. S-W-A-A-B. He's a professor. Mediaite brings us the story. Professor claims smoking or drinking during pregnancy makes your babies gay.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
A new book. He has a book, Dick Swab does.
And you can cure it by swabbing your...
Right.
Yeah.
A new book claims that smoking or drinking during pregnancy can make your baby gay.
Right.
Among other factors, the name of the book's author, as I mentioned, Dick Swab.
Is that who you are? What you do?
Right. guessing both. A controversial new study claims decisions made by women when they are pregnant can affect their baby's brains, including determining their sexuality, intelligence, and chances of developing autism. Mm. Professor Dick Swab's new book, We Are Our Brains. He's a professor of neurology at Amsterdam University.
Oh.
Claims the chance of having a child who is gay can be determined by a range of factors, including how stressed pregnant women are.
Mm-hmm.
Don't make me angry. You're going to make my baby gay. Well, as well as whether they smoke and their exposure to amphetamines.
Mm-hmm. Or if the husband hasn't swabbed his...
Or
Mediates.
Pep pills, as your mom called them.
Pep pills.
Right. Doctor, give me some pills to perk me up.
I feel so peppy.
Mediate finishes by saying, one thing is for sure, this book does conclusively prove what happens when you name your kid Dick Swab.
Dick Swab.
I'm just guessing his childhood was not easy.
No.
Okay.
Why doesn't he go by Richard? I mean, just come on.
Because he's Dick Swab. Hello, Tony in L.A. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Tony.
Hey, Stephanie.
It's my girl.
Yeah, girl, how you doing? You know, I had to call and back you up with these men on here.
Thank you.
Okay, now, first of all, let's just be real. There can be 1,000 Snowdens. We will never know everything the government is doing. Are you serious? I mean, seriously, and let's face it, the average person isn't even voting. I don't think they're going to be, you know, interested in our foreign policy for the next 20 years and which countries will invade and bubble. Give me a break. I mean, when you think about Dr. King yesterday,
right?
Look at how they followed him, and Jim knows very well about the counterintelligence program.
Mm-hmm.
You know that, Jim.
COINTELPRO.
Pardon me?
COINTELPRO was the acronym.
You're right. So you know exactly what the government has been doing and will continue to do forever. My main thing is this, and you know we as women, Stephanie, women can suck it up and keep it moving.
Yes.
Men just have to keep going. You know, they always wonder whose hand is in their little cookie jar. They just can't take it, and if I don't know everything... Man can't even follow directions. Let's be for real.
That's right. If you want to know who's weak on this show, watch the show on Free Speech TV. Chris cannot even handle a small, white, fluffy dog. A friendly, white, fluffy dog.
Yeah, but I could lift your house.
Yeah, whatever.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay,
but a white dog comes to for a kiss, and you're like...
This equipment that you paid thousands of dollars for, do you want it drooled on?
I'm sorry, Tony, what were you saying? There's some white noise in the room. Go ahead.
Girl, like I said, women suck it up. We know how to keep things going, and that's just it. I think people just need to understand that, you know, nobody really wants to know.
Right. And I appreciate the heart attack you just gave Chris by saying suck it up. Okay.
Yes.
Love you. Suck it up.
Consonants sometimes don't translate over the phone lines.
Yes, and, the S and the F sound.
I think you just had a little mini stroke. You were like, oh.
I did.
Okay.
Are you smelling burnt toast?
Yeah. Or oranges.
Suck. Suck it up.
Thank you.
Okay.
Who's having toast with marmalade?
All right. Kevin in D.C., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. I bet Dick Swab also not good at sucking it up.
No.
Hello, Dick. Not Dick. Kevin. Hi, Kevin.
WTF.
Exactly.
Good morning, lovely stuff.
Hello. Hello, Kevin.
Come on, suck it up.
I'm very envious of you being over there in California. We're about to be hit by 6 to 10 inches of snow here.
Yeah. Polar vortex part 2, I heard, is coming, right?
Yeah. And you know how we shut down on the first snowflake.
That's right.
Our mind. So.
Well, then I probably should not point out that it's 80 degrees here.
Yeah, we're already in fire season, and it's still January.
Yeah, although we're having a drought.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, go ahead.
Rub it in, why don't you? But I said rub it in.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, I was looking at the blowback that the Hoboken mayor is getting.
Right.
And one of the refrains that Republicans say is, oh, why didn't she say this before, blah, blah, blah. And, like, especially looking at Haley Barbour today, who, I'm sorry, he sounds like every stereotypical crooked Southern sheriff and every B-Western I've ever seen.
Right.
But he's like, you know, why didn't you do well? I'm like, you're Exhibit A. Why? It almost, I hate to genderize it, but it almost sounds like, you know, women when they're asked, well, why did you stay with so-and-so and you didn't come forward between now and all of that. Well, I think you're demonstrating why someone might be intimidated because this is what you go through. And it's funny how whether it's this where she has her journals or the gate where you have these texts where it's clear they did it, Republicans from Peggy Noonan to Boehner are saying, let's move on when the evidence is coming in. But fake stories like Benghazi, they want to keep that even after they've been debunked.
Didn't Peggy Noonan say this weekend, oh, I think the story's peaked. That was the day federal prosecutors are meeting with the Hoboken mayor. Oh, yeah, this story's over now. Uh-huh.
And I used to call her one of the more sentient ones, but she's really... I have to put her in the other category because he's done that for a while now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and by the way, I'm almost certain that the really bad actress playing the lieutenant governor is going to be snubbed for
that's great.
An Oscar. Right.
Yes.
Or what's her name? Lieutenant Governor Kim Guadagno? Yeah, here she is.
Guadagno.
Yeah, here she is.
I am very surprised.
Surprised.
By the mayor's allegations.
Huh? Allegations?
And I deny.
Deny.
Wholeheartedly.
Wholeheartedly.
Those allegations.
It was kind of quarter-heartedly.
The worst.
Not even half-heartedly.
The worst.
Yeah.
Here we go. The suggestion that anyone would hold back Sandy relief funds for any reason is wholly and completely false.
Wholly and seen completely 1,000% false.
Because she'd been more patronizing too. She's like, these allegations are false and illogical. Missy.
Wow.
Yikes. All right. Yeah, that seemed credible.
Yeah.
All right. 17 minutes after the hour, we roll along on the Stephanie Miller Show.
She's your human happy pill.
Happy, happy, joy, joy, joy.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Aw, Fran's emotional support person is here. 22 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number.
Fred smells like a dog.
Sorry.
With his nose.
1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Let's go to Brian in Charlotte. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Brian.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Hey, I'm not saying that it's not okay to be a cynic. I think you should be a cynic, and I think you should question 99% or 100% of what the government does. But I do distinctly remember that when the Tsarnaev brothers got caught, there was a story that despite the Russians giving them information on these guys and despite numerous background checks on both of these guys, the whoever was checking these guys out basically said, well, we did all of this stuff, but we didn't have enough proof to prove that they were going to do something like this Boston bombing. So that goes to show that despite all this surveillance, quote unquote, that, you know, Jim and Charlie keep talking about, there's still some checks there to keep people from overrunning our rights. I mean, I just think it's absurd that the government wants to know what all the citizens in this country are doing. They really, in my opinion, what these type of things that they're doing, this all the surveillance that they're doing are basically just to keep pedophiles off the internet and people from blowing us up, to be honest with you. And I'm a cynic. You know, I work in IT. I work in security.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't track what everybody's doing in our office. We basically put keywords on the firewall. And if those keywords come through, we see the email. And if it's legit, we let it go. But we're not tracking who's doing what on the internet.
Well, that's why I was saying, you know, that Bill Maher was saying to Glenn Greenwald that that's ridiculous. Some of the statements they make about, oh, they know every conversation you've ever had with every friend.
That's exactly what they're doing, though, with the new facility in Utah.
I mean, Brian, do you think it's even possible that they can listen to every American's phone calls?
I really don't think they care, though. That's the issue.
Yeah.
They don't care, but they have it archived.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, but that's only if you're calling Pakistan 20 times.
They're still having it archived.
They're hoovering up everything.
But they're not listening, is what he's saying.
Yeah.
Well, why are they keeping it?
Exactly what I just said is because if you, Chris, are calling Pakistan 20 times a week,
yeah, are you?
Then they're going to go and look at you.
Wouldn't you like
but
to
if
know?
If you're not calling Pakistan 20 times a week, your information isn't getting looked at. They don't care that it's there.
But why are they keeping it?
Where do you think you're fooling with all the calls to Pakistan?
No, why are they keeping everybody's metadata?
Yeah.
Again, if you decide to call Pakistan 20 times a week.
But if I'm not, why are they still keeping my calls?
You know what? His denial sounds very flimsy to me.
What I'm saying is like a vacuum, like with our service that we have on our job. We keep emails indefinitely. Okay?
Right. But you're a private company. You're not the government.
And you don't think that it's not wrong to
It's unconstitutional. It's against the Fourth Amendment.
Like the Tsarnaev brothers. They said they checked these guys out, but they didn't have enough information. Now, do you think it's okay for us to just purge the data of them calling whoever they were calling or emailing whoever they were emailing, even though they said that they didn't find anything wrong before they started bombing people? They still had those previous emails, and they had to keep those emails to go back in the event that something like the Boston bombing happened. I mean, makes total sense to me.
I hear you. I think the main thing, Jim, is that Chris is a worse actor than the lieutenant governor of New Jersey. It just sounds very defensive, really.
I'm not defensive. You're the one who's defensive.
Really?
Shut up.
Go ahead. Say it again.
I actually have a friend in Pakistan.
How many times?
I have a friend in Pakistan right now.
I really do.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Oh.
Okay.
I do.
Wow.
He's posting pictures of his trip back home.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, and that's all just very innocent, right?
It is. Mm-hmm. He's a great guy.
Just making some notes. Okay.
Oh, boy.
Let's go to Don in California.
Great. Now I'm really going to get hoovered up by the NSA.
Yep.
And you're not going to have someone to sit here pushing buttons.
Chris is in Gitmo. Oh, well. Yeah. Mike in Maine. You're on the – Travis is easily trained. Hi, Mike. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Just a side note on that last conversation. The federal government has spent $500 billion on intelligence since post-9/11. Going to the lieutenant governor, anybody who measures their words so carefully reminds me of Bill Clinton, and I did not have sexual relations with that woman. So the lieutenant governor has got to be lying through her teeth, because there's no way that anybody would sit there and emphasize words and to make it clear that, hey, I'm the one who's telling the truth when, I mean, any psychologist is going to say anybody who's doing that is going to lie, is lying through their teeth.
It was like a bad high school debate class or something.
Yeah,
you know?
That's someone who should not play poker, because...
Yeah.
That's,
It was like, remember when George Bush, like, his facial expressions didn't match what he was saying? It was like, what? No, don't smirk when you're talking about people being killed. Don't.
They'll be put to death.
Yeah, remember he did that, like, telegraphing the comedy eyebrow, the here comes a zinger, and you're like, what? No, don't. Okay. Don in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Don.
Good morning. Good morning. Hey, listen.
Morning.
I'd like to point out just two obvious things. First of all, number one, every month when I used to get my phone bill on paper, it would come with 16 pages of stuff, and every one of them was every phone call that I ever made, how long it was made, and what time it was made, and everything else. So a private company already has that information, and who knows how long they hold on to it, and we have.
But a private company is not the government.
But we have absolutely no control over what CEO decides to do with that information. He can sell it to advertisers and give all our information to advertisers and everything else. That's point
but
number
Don,
one. So it's been going on for a long time.
Right. That's why I'm saying I just think this isn't an easy issue because that's part of what, aren't we saying this is one of the things like, oh, we don't want private contractors having this information. We want the government, but now people are like, oh, now we don't want the government.
It's different, and I'll tell
you why.
And
the phone companies are saying they don't want to do it. So, okay. All right, you will tell me why.
I will tell you why.
Mr. Pakistan, 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You're pretty feisty for an upper class bitch.
Ha 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 ha! It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Lois in Louisiana. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Lois.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi. All right.
Wait, I'm going to stop laughing in a minute because I was waiting to talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I was on the commode, and your commercial just went off. It was talking about commodes, and I forgot. Got to flush it.
Just made you a little giggly. Okay.
She forgot to flush it, she said.
Oh. But I'm going that may have been a little bit more information.
Yeah, go back go back and flush it.
No, not till I get through talking.
Okay.
All right.
But you said something I disagree with because you said we're going to stop watching y'all because y'all are it. You and Chris and the other two. That's not going to happen.
What happened? What?
Stop working out, you said? What?
Huh?
Well, I don't.
What?
Didn't quite understand what you said. Say it again.
Okay, let me take a deep breath. Stephanie said y'all we wasn't watching y'all because y'all was arguing about that Snowden thing.
Yes, that's right.
Oh, and you were watching us even on the commode while you were not. Do you live with anyone, Lois? Do you live with anyone?
Yeah, my husband.
Oh, and what does he think about what's currently going on in the toity? Okay, all right.
I'm a
flush it,
but anyway.
All right. All right. I was waiting for in a couple of minutes. Honey, that is gross. Watch this.
Oh.
Okay. Let's go to Donald in Illinois. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Donald.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hello, go ahead.
Yeah, this business with the Snowden thing has really got me wrangled. Well, sure, you could say what you want to say, that he did expose them for what they were doing. But the truth of the matter is what the American people are expecting the government to do regarding our security, if they take too much out and one of these terrorist activities do slip through the cracks, I wonder what they're going to be saying then.
Well, I thought the same thing in that that's what I'm wondering. If it, you know, I'm not president. I'm not responsible for the security of the United States, and I'm just saying this is not easy stuff. You're right. There's not like a one easy solution. And that, you know, someone wrote a piece about this that, yeah, you know, you'd hate to see how many of our civil liberties we lose if there's another 9/11, right?
Yeah, exactly. And not only that, there too. I had mixed feelings about the Snowden, what he'd done, but the truth of the matter is, he literally showed our hand and what we do and how to avoid them. So what is this going to do? Let terrorists go? They'll be giving hand signals next time. They won't be going to the Internet. They know not to do that. They know that they can't
use
phones. So now they could be more undercover now, and we'll never catch them now.
They'll all look like third base coaches. Right. What does that mean?
So I was going to tell you the difference.
Oh, yes,
steel
sir.
Third.
Right. Yes, sir.
The difference between...
Mr. Communicates with Pakistan regularly for some reason, and we still don't really know the answer.
Oh, by the way, my friend wants me to get a good deal on a rug on one of these calls to Pakistan.
Okay, so. Great. Yeah. Not an area rug.
Exactly. Okay, the difference between the phone companies hoovering up all of this information and the government hoovering up all of this information is that you can choose to deal with a different phone company.
Right.
That doesn't do with that. You can't choose
to deal
with
the phone companies
different...
are saying they don't want to store this. You know what I mean? They don't. Because some people want it out of the government's hands. People like Jim don't trust the government. And the phone company is saying we don't have the capability.
But the guy was saying, what's the difference between the government and the phone company? The phone company is a private company. It's not, you know, it doesn't have the Constitution running it. The government, you can't choose to deal with a different government.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's turn to something happy, and that is Talking Points Memo. The GOP's 2016 presidential roster already melting down.
Yay.
Cue Hillary. Laughing her ass off. Once promising roster of Republican presidential hopefuls is in 2016 slowly coming apart, tarnished by individual scandals as well as the struggles of some candidates to keep faith with the conservative base's stubborn rightward shift. Chris Christie. I think we know. And that's a hard fall. That is that's a Dick Morris falling on a sack of hammers kind of fall. He's the latest to fall from grace, and that you cannot miss that.
No.
No.
That makes a big splash in the Hudson River.
Hudson. Uh-huh. Yes.
There's no water in the Hudson anymore.
So the latest polling, remember, everybody was talking about this was just late last month, he was leading Hillary Clinton by 2 points in a national poll, CNN poll. So now he is trailing her by 13.
There's a bullet.
Senator Marco Rubio, or as our friend Charlie Pierce says, well-known stepper on rakes.
Flap.
Thwap.
Once her-
once heralded as the GOP's savior, alienated his conservative base by crafting and voting for a comprehensive immigration reform. And then he alienated those he won over by withdrawing from the effort after it became clear that the House would reject it.
Yeah.
So now he's kind of alienated people on both sides of the immigration.
How many rakes are there?
Thwap.
Thwap. Ow. Where's my water? Glug, glug, glug. Ow, another rake.
Thwap.
Thwap. Senator Rand Paul has, of course, been tarnished by embarrassing revelations of plagiarism. Then there's Jebby, smart one. Should have been him. He appears to have all but disappeared from the national debate as his party's rightward leap forces him to defend his conservative credentials. And also his mother recently poured cold water, saying there's been enough Bushes in the White House.
Yeah.
Republican donors are feeling so dejected. One operative told BuzzFeed, you know what a lot of them say to me? I think we need Mitt back. Oh, my God.
Oh,
really?
Oh, God.
Oh, God, that is bad. Now that is bad. All right. Laura in Oregon, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Laura.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
I've been listening to you for years, first-time caller.
Oh.
I wanted to just remind everyone that on the Snowden and what the president has come out with restricting maybe some of the national security stuff. He takes an oath to protect the Constitution. He doesn't take an oath. The first thing he has to do is to protect us between threats, foreign or domestic.
Yeah.
And so if there's a domestic threat and it has to do with our Constitution, that takes priority over our security.
Mm. Well, Patriot Act took care of that.
That's why I said, Laura, if I were the president, I would, quit. I would quit now and then also drink.
Drink lots.
Yes. I would just be like, you know what?
I recommend you start drinking heavily.
This is too hard.
That is one of many reasons why you can't be president.
So many. What's that in my closet? Clackety, 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 clackety. All right. 41 minutes after the hour. Jim has to go, so call us and keep us company.
I have some voiceover jobs.
He has a real job now. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere.
This is just the appetizer.
Anybody that wants to speculate on why Chris is calling Pakistan so much.
Huh. Who do you think you're fooling?
Okay. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 46 minutes after the hour. Call us, 1-800-STEPH-12. Jim had to go to a voiceover job.
Yep.
But for those of you who like to know, he quit a little early on the crossword puzzle. No one likes a quitter.
No.
He had to leave the show early, and he left out. Like, he missed like three. The LA Times crossword. Just, you know, for your final score today. Okay. Carolyn in Sacramento. Chris, it's for you.
What? Hi.
Hi, Carolyn. Go ahead.
Chris.
Hi.
I'm listening to you complain about Fred and the dog drool.
Yeah.
I have an English bulldog, sweetheart.
Uh-huh.
And let me just tell you that you don't know nothing about dog drool.
Right.
So you've been around a bulldog.
I know. I have a good mind to get another St. Bernard.
Yes, but bulldogs can't rest their heads on the table here.
No, he rests his head on my leg.
Okay, but these dogs are so giant they can rest their heads on all of the equipment here and drool in it.
What's the point of having that many muscles if you're going to be that big a wuss, right, Carolyn?
Exactly.
Thank you.
Exactly.
All right, thank you.
I'm just saying that My English bulldogs are the drooliest.
All right. See? Could be worse. Or you could work with Britt Hume, who is equally drooly.
This is true.
Although I'm getting to that age where I sometimes, like, you don't realize you're drooling. You're like, what is that?
Really?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. Like, what my friends will tell me when I get really excited, I sometimes spit and I don't realize. But I you know, it's just projectile stuff. When people start ducking, then you know you're getting overly excited.
Yeah. By the way, Clarissa tweets, it's an annoying importunity of many dog owners urging people to touch their dogs, and if you refuse to, they feel offended.
Right. Because I don't trust a dog hater like you.
I don't hate dogs. I had dogs growing up.
All right. Listen, speaking of furry things, with Cameron Diaz, please stop talking about, you know,
her thatch.
Right. Her lady garden. Is this a thing? See, just when I get a no-no hair removal endorsement, now this happens.
Right.
Apparently there's a trend back to the
natural
70s. Right. Right. Exactly.
Back to the Farrah poster.
Cameron Diaz, apparently, according to The Guardian, Chris, leading a movement rejecting the shame heaped on women's privates by the removal industry, as our friends at No-No are called. I'm always behind the times, apparently. Cameron Diaz has proclaimed that pubic hair is there for a reason, and to remove it is tantamount to saying, I don't need my nose.
What?
I think...
American Apparel has filled its New York shop windows with mannequins, you know, realistic mannequins and sheer...
with great big thatches.
Undies, yeah. Right, right. A new poll found that 50% of women in Britain do not groom at all in the lady...
area.
Exactly, any other area.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, the other thing, they also have areolas.
Yes.
Speaking of words with...
nipples and areolas.
Right, in the American Apparel mannequins.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Why?
I don't know what's happening. America's gone to hell. Let's go to...
Why, just because they don't shave their lady bits?
I don't understand. Mike in Atlanta, you're on the Stephanie Miller
you're
Show.
You're a smoothie, aren't you?
Hi, Mike.
Hi there.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good.
I really wanted to talk to Jim, but I guess I can ask Chris this. Are you really that vain to think that they're listening to your phone conversation? Seriously, do you really think that there's somebody at the NSA going, Chris LaBoy is talking to somebody. We need to find out what he's saying.
Well, now that they know how much he emails Pakistan.
No, dude, it's not about me. It's about the principle of the situation.
The
government shouldn't be listening. The government shouldn't be listening to anybody's conversation unless they're calling overseas.
How do you know?
You'll be the first one complaining.
Right. How do you know the government is listening to everyone's conversations? And do you think that is even possible?
I don't know if it's possible. It's possible. I mean, it's entirely possible, and it's probable that they're hoovering up all of our metadata. Mm-hmm. What's to say they can't hoover up all of our? Oh,
he hung up.
He didn't want to talk with me anymore.
No, he did not. He did not like your tone.
No, he didn't like the fact that he was losing the argument.
Okay. You know what? The Instagram, I don't...
It's an app.
Yeah. By the way, thank you. You have freed me from right-wing AM talk radio.
I have.
Because now we live in Los Angeles where there are 4 right-wing talk radio stations and no progressives. But I found the most magical thing in my life now. I have an armband that fits my iPhone. And you put progressive voices on it.
I did.
On TuneIn Radio and also iHeartRadio.
Yep.
So I can listen to progressive radio anytime I want now.
Absolutely.
So there. Meaner. I have no idea where that came from. Oh! Technology.
At Instagram. Yes.
Right, Instagram. No. Madonna apologizes for calling her son the N-word on Instagram.
That was ill-advised.
She posted a photo of her 13-year-old son that included the hashtag dis N-I-G-G-A, but there was no asterisk.
Why?
Along with the son of the photo of her son boxing and the hashtag, she wrote, "No one messes with dirty soap. Mama said knock you out." Hashtag. Shortly after, she deleted the comments and replaced it with, "Okay, let me start this again." Hashtag get off my haters. It's presumably a body part she doesn't have. Okay.
She needs to grow up.
Yeah. She's.
I'm sorry.
But does social media just make you like in high school?
No. No. Social media is only as grown up as you are.
Okay.
And so she could be a grandmother for God's sakes.
By the way, so everybody's still talking about Roger Ailes' book.
Yeah.
Apparently his Rosebud story is a transparent lie. The cruelest lesson, this is the anecdote.
Oh?
The cruelest lesson Roger would speak of occurred in the bedroom Roger shared with his brother. Roger was standing on the top bunk. His father opened his arms wide and smiled. "Jump, Roger, jump." Roger leapt off the bed into the air toward his arms. Roger took a step back. His son fell flat on the floor. As he looked up, Robert leaned down and picked him up. Don't ever trust anybody.
That's kind of cruel.
Right. Apparently, these stories are a very well-known trope. The earliest version was in a Rockefeller biography.
Oh, I see.
It has showed up in several hundred books since, including British actor Peter O'Toole's book.
Oh.
Huh. What Something Roger Ailes said is a lie. That's
imagine
weird.
That.
Yeah, imagine that. Let's go to Annie in St. Paul. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Annie.
Hi, sweetie. How are you feeling?
Good. I am feeling much better. Thank you.
Oh, thank heavens. Listen, I'm here to back up Chris.
Thank you.
Here's the thing, though. I totally agree with you, Stephanie. In my heart of hearts, I'm like, what is the friggin' big deal? However, I have to say the difference between I'm so sorry. Oh, you can't read my mind. As regards the NSA thing.
Right. Oh, okay.
And also grooming. But here's the thing. Between a corporation and the government is, a corporation is a corporation, private, everything Chris said, a government can put you in jail.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it is actually such a big deal, is that if things are discovered, someone is arrested, yada, 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 the government can impede your rights to live a rich and full life. A corporation can't or shouldn't be able to.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
So that for me is the big difference. So I'm giving Chris back up, even though I kind of, in my heart of hearts, agree with Stephanie.
I know. Well,
I love you both.
You're a Libra, aren't you?
No, I'm a Virgo, and I have a dog, and I insist that people do not touch it. There you go.
Okay.
I mean, you know,
that's because Virgos are
in the bathroom right now. So hey, what are you going to do?
I had a friend that was a Virgo, and she used to alphabetize her snack drawer, and make her insane. I used to move her Skittles in her
Kit Kat. You're
evil.
Bottom Satan. Oh my God.
Right.
Right. Because you're really anal, right? You're really anal and
I don't know if I'd say anal, but I'd say I'm well organized.
Yeah, well, overly organized. Or anally organized is what I'm saying. It is. It's right.
Who knows?
All
right. You know, anal. It can be such an ugly word.
It with love. I mean it with love. And a completely unrelated story about Marcus Bachmann.
Oh, boy.
Did you see their, speaking of selfies, they did a Downton Abbey pose.
Yeah,
did you
I
see
saw
the
that.
Selfie of the, let's see, where is this from? Oh, Gawker. None of the characters on Downton has a beard like Marcus Bachmann has a beard. Look, he looks super, doesn't he?
I'm super!
Look at a bow tie.
All things considered, I couldn't be better, I'm a fan.
He looks like a gay Colonel Sanders.
No, nothing bugs me.
Hi.
Everything is super when you're, don't you think I look cute in this hat?
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. And that little bow tie. Okay, Peter in Virginia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Pete.
Hello, Stephanie.
Hello.
I just wanted to tell you that woman who was talking about her bulldog was absolutely correct.
They're drooling?
About the drooling.
Yeah, they are.
We had to get Laura Ashley wallpaper after we got our bulldog. Oh, this is 10 years ago. We had plain wallpaper, spots all over it. Maggie and Nelson would drink water, and then they'd shake their head. And missiles.
You must be very secure in your manhood to have Laura Ashley wallpaper.
We like that anyway. My wife I would never have gotten it. I just would have probably left it there and had Peter wallpaper after a while, or maybe Maggie or Nelson. But I just wanted to tell you bulldogs are great, great droolers if you need some.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. See, they're just saying count your blessings. Great Pyrenees. Not that drooly.
They are drooly.
No,
they're
not.
They're not quite as drooly as bulldogs, but they can put their heads up on the table and drool on things.
Hey, by the by, remember that Republican autopsy?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The one that said they needed to be nicer to people,
right.
Basically.
The Republican Party's image has changed little in the years since Republican Chairman Reince Priebus published his prescription for broadening the party's appeal.
Mm.
Despite its investment in outreach to racial minorities, women, and gay voters. Oh, they've been doing that? I must have missed that. Ari Fleischer said the issue remains an open book for Republicans is, what is the character of the party? Are we a more inclusive and welcoming party yet?
Computer says no.
No. No, you're not.
Nope.
You're still the same racist, sexist, homophobes you've always been. But nice try. The party is counting on political geography and expected low voter turnout. That's a good forward-looking plan in the 2014 midterms to give them control of the Senate. Since losing the 2012 presidential election, Republicans have continued to slip in public approval. According to the most recent Gallup, 32% have a favorable opinion of the GOP now, compared with 43% immediately after President Obama's reelection. So the answer is not so well.
Yeah.
Not so well, the rebranding.
GOP still sucks.
Right. It didn't, and the war on women continues. Who was the guy I mentioned earlier, the Republican congressman that said, if you're after 50, you don't need a gynecological care. There's nothing Nothing happening down there.
Yeah, don't even need to trim anymore.
No, that was Cameron Diaz. Oh. Try to pay attention. Is it time for you to call Pakistan?
Yes.
NSA, I would... Okay. 58 minutes after the hour. That's it for us. I'd like to thank Chris LaVoy, Jim Ward, for most of the show. We will see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.